Psalm chapter 130. We're going to start just a couple little verses here. We're starting in verse number 3 of Psalm 130. The Bible says, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" Wow. I wonder, how many of you in here have not sinned, never sinned? Raise your hand. I'm the only one? You have. Okay, God bless you, man. I mean, you ought to be up here. And did you know lions are sin? Anyway. No, we all have. And if God held us back and said, "Okay, whenever you sin, sit down, you're done." Then we're all done. There would be no one serving the Lord. "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" But I love this next verse. "But there is forgiveness with thee." Aren't those great words? "There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Now, to me, the key word in this verse number 4 is a little simple word, the word "that." The word "that" here in this passage means "so that" or "in order for." There is forgiveness with thee in order that thou mayest be feared. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, it means to be aware of his presence. It basically just means to serve the Lord. A person that has the fear of the Lord wants to do the will of God. They want to obey God. They are aware of God's presence. That is the way you serve the Lord, is by having the fear of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why do we need wisdom? To serve the Lord. It also says in another passage, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You don't know anything about life until you fear the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people that claim to be professors and so forth, and I know about this. The earth is billions of years old, and da-da-da-da-da. They don't know anything. Because they don't fear the Lord. But here it says, if God marked iniquities, nobody can serve the Lord. "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Forgiveness is what enables us to be able to serve the Lord. Amen. Forgiveness is what frees the Christian to serve the Lord. So I want to preach today on the subject, the ultimate purpose of forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord, and I pray you'll fill me with your spirit as I proclaim your word. I pray you'll use the words that are said today, Lord, to work in someone's heart and to help somebody. Lord, bless Pastor Ross. Lord, thank you for his testimony and his life. Lord, please continue to work in his body and heal him and strengthen him. Lord, and bring him back here soon to be with his people. Now, Lord, meet with us today, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. A few thoughts I want to give about this. First of all, Satan wants you to focus on the bad that you've done. He wants you to focus on the bad that you have done. You ever watched maybe a junior high basketball game, and you know, here's a kid and he's wide open, he's going up for a layup, so he's dribbling down the court, throws it up, goes over the backboard. Everybody in the crowd, at least that's for that team, his dad, his mom, "Yeah, it's my son," because mom's always, it doesn't matter what you do. Moms are for you. The moms of a serial killer, "Oh, he's a good boy." And so mom, "That's my boy." And, but everybody else, and so here's this kid, he's like, So he's walking down the court the other way. Somebody throws him the ball and hits him in the head. You know why? Because he's still down there at that end.
Right, right.
And all he's thinking about is, "I can't believe I missed that shot. I can't believe I missed that shot." And he's no good the rest of the game. Coach has to take him out. Why? Because that mistake got in his head and took him on the sidelines. You ever watched a professional baseball player? You know, bases are loaded. I mean, this is important. He's up to bat. Strike one. Strike two. Strike three. He walks away like nothing happened.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, aren't you upset? Bases were loaded and you struck out. Now he knows that he can't let that get in his head, or he's done. He's coming up to bat again. He's going to make up for that. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses them, us, day and night. You ever been accused by the devil? Those of you that make mistakes, everybody but this guy right here. Devil ever accused you after you made a mistake? And here's where he really does it, when you make it multiple times. And you do it, you think, oh, Lord God, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that. God, help me, forgive me. Maybe you come to the altar and say, God, help me, give me victory. Thank you, Lord. And then before you get to the car, you messed up again. The same thing. You think, oh. And Satan accuses you. Man, you're not even a decent Christian. Wow, you didn't even last like 5 minutes. Satan wants to get in your head and tell you that you are worthless to God. You have messed up just too many times. There's a thing called guilt, and we've all experienced it. And the truth of the matter is, God is the first one to give us the guilt. When you do wrong, you feel guilty, and you should feel guilty. God wants you to feel guilty. God gave you that guilt. Why? To drive you to Jesus and confess your sins, right?
Amen.
1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when the guilt comes after you did something wrong, that God gave you that to drive you to him to say, God, I was wrong. Now, why do you have to confess that to God? Does he not know what you did? No, confession, yes, it's for God, but it's mainly for you. And me. So we confess that guilt, and then God's done with it. God throws it in the dumpster. But there's a guy who's a dumpster diver. His name's the devil. And he goes and grabs that guilt that God threw away, and he brings it back to you. And you think, I confess that. Why do I still feel guilty? I feel just as bad as I did before I confessed. God, you know, I'm sorry, God. No, whoa, that's not God. God didn't bring that to you that time. The devil brought it to you that time. And he wants to use that to take you out of the game. So Satan wants you to focus on the bad you've done. And if you spend your life just focusing on your mistakes, then you're making Satan very happy. You're accomplishing his purpose for your life. Number two, God wants you to focus on the good that you can still do. God is all about from now on. You know, one of the great things about God is every day is a new day. Man, if you stunk yesterday, physically, spiritually, every way you can stink, you can get a spiritual bath and a physical bath if you need that, by the way. But it's a new day. Every day's a new day. In fact, you don't have to wait till the end of the day. You can start a new day in the middle of the day. And if you're like me, I have to start it several times in the morning. I don't make it through halfway through the day. God wants you to focus on the good you can still do. I taught high school for 28 years. And one of my former students is here, Stephan. I looked back there during Sunday school, I thought, that girl looks familiar. The last time I saw her, she was sleeping in my class, so I don't really recognize her with her eyes open. But the last 16 years that I taught high school, I had a lawn business. And for some reason, the school didn't pay us during the summer. Cheapskates. So, you know, it's hard to just get a job during the summer, that, at least other than like Burger King or Wendy's or whatever. Nothing wrong with those if any of you work there. But it doesn't pay mortgage and all those other things very well. So for 16 years, I decided, okay, I'm going to start my own business. So I started off with a little push mower, 20-inch push mower. And that wasn't even self-propelled. And I mowed lawns, made enough money, then I got a self-propelled. I mean, the kind that you grab the little bar and you squeeze it down and it just takes off. Hook my bed up to the back of it. Well, when my boys were growing up, I had three boys and a girl. So as my boys were growing up, I needed some help, and I recognized cheap labor when I see it. And actually, I was just trying to teach them to work hard. No, actually, I wanted cheap labor. No, both. But so my oldest son, Dan, he was like in fourth grade. And so I would take him with me, and he could do the self-propelled thing pretty easy, and I would do the weed eating. So I remember one particular lawn we were mowing. He was mowing in the backyard, and I was weed eating in the front. And I thought, and all of a sudden, he came around the front, just walking around, says, "What's the matter?" He goes, "Dad, the mower's in a bush." I go, "What?" He said, "The mower's in a bush." "What do you mean, the mower's in a bush?" "The mower's in a bush." Went in the backyard. "The mower's in a bush." So he came up to the bush, and he panicked when he got to it, and he didn't let go of the bar, the self-propelled bar. So it drove up over the bush. He couldn't get it off. So I just charged a lady trimming her hedges, and no, but I always told my boys, I said, "Look, if you run over something, run over some flowers, whatever, the old lady, or whatever, you run over something, just let me know. I'll take care of it and then get back to work." And so I got it off the bush and went back to work. But let's suppose my son, he came. So I got off the bush. I said, "Okay, get back to work, you know, because we got, it's getting dark and I got all these lawns to mow." So I'll go back and I finish weeding there and I go back to the back and he's just standing there crying. "What's the matter? Are you okay?" "I ran over a bush." "I know, you told me. Start mowing." "I just feel terrible about the bush." Now, I would be glad that he's conscientious. But I think I would say something more like, "I don't care about the stupid bush. It's getting dark. Start mowing. We've got all these lawns to go." You know, God has work for us to do. And there's a lot of us thinking that we're doing God a big favor. "Oh, I just feel so bad because I let God down and I sinned against God. I'm not going to do anything else." Yeah. Now, I don't know if God says, "Forget about that stupid thing." I don't think God does that. But God doesn't want you sitting around crying over what you did. There's work to be done. The night cometh when no man can work. "Oh, I'm just not worthy." None of us are worthy. "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand?" Nobody. Okay, so God leveled the playing field right there. Okay, we're all unworthy. And we're all going to sin. That's why God made forgiveness. Because forgiveness enables us to keep working even though we're not worthy and we don't feel worthy. But what a lot of us do, we think we're doing God a favor. "God, you know, just don't waste your time on me anymore. Go work with somebody else. You know, I'm not worthy." Like we're doing God a favor, like God's going, "Aw. What a dedicated person. I wish everybody's like that. If everybody's like that, the whole world would go to hell." Right. Yeah. No, we don't need to be like that. We need to get to work. Matthew 7:37-38 says, "Then saith he," this is Jesus, "unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." There's not enough. "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Jesus said, pray for more, not less. You know, we need more. If we got half the people stopping, that's not going to work. We need everybody that's doing it to keep doing it and then add more to it. We need more, not less. You know, if any paramedic people, EMT, anybody had any training like that? Okay, good. There's a man in our church. His name's Jeff, and he's a paramedic, and he teaches a class on how to be EMT and all that stuff. So Let's suppose you took that class, and it's a difficult class, by the way. I haven't taken it, but I understand it's very difficult. And so, you want to do that, and you go over there, and you take the final test, and you miss too many on that test, and you fail. And you think, oh, man, I failed. I didn't get my certificate. I mean, you know all about everything. You know how to do CPR. You know how to do all that, but you missed too many questions on the test, and so, you know, now you're not certified. So, you're dejected. You're driving home, and all of a sudden you see an old guy walking on the sidewalk. And he's going,
yeah.
Then he falls down. And you pull over and you go, hey, is this guy okay? I think he's having a heart attack. It's my dad. Help him. Oh, I can't. I'm not certified. Man, I don't have my certificate. I didn't pass. I mean, I know how to do CPR, but I don't have my certificate.
Right.
Sorry. Can I drive off? Seriously? I don't think the family cares if you're certified or if you have a certificate. You know how to do it. Do it. My wife's a nurse. We were at a restaurant one time, and we were sitting there eating. We'd just gotten our food. And I looked across, and there was an elderly man sitting over there, and it looked like maybe his daughter or something. And I kept looking over there, and she was like, Dad. And he wasn't responding. I said, my wife's name's Pat. I said, Pat, I think there's something wrong over there. So she gets up, she goes over there, she feels his pulse. He has no pulse. So I take the man, and I set him down on the floor, and my wife starts doing CPR and brings him back. And, you know, I told my wife afterwards, I said, you know, you always told me you were a nurse, but I didn't really believe you, but I believe you now. I thought you were just ordering the casinos. And, but so we sat back down, and the owner of the restaurant came up there. The ambulance came and took the person to the hospital and said, the meal's on us today. I said, oh, thank you. So from then on, every time I go to a restaurant, I look for old guys, and I just grab them and throw them on the floor. My wife starts doing CPR. Man, I've gotten steak dinners. I'm just like, okay, that part's not true, but the first part was. But, you know, I don't think the person who you give a tract to that gets saved, when they get to heaven, I don't think they're going to care if you weren't a perfect Christian.
Right.
I don't think they're going to care that, you know, you messed up too many times and you felt unworthy. You can still give a tract to somebody. You can still witness to somebody. You can still help people. And you should. Number three, everyone falls. It's what you do after the fall. Everybody falls. Everybody falls. It's what you do after the fall. Very familiar verse, Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. There's two people mentioned here. There's just people and wicked people. The Bible says the just man, after he falls, he gets back up. The wicked man, when he falls, he just goes into more sin. He quits, basically. Which one of those are you? I'm a just man. Have you quit? Have you given up? Have you checked out of God's game and God's race? The just man rises up again. When I was a teenager, the latter years of my teenage years, I just started serving the Lord. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church in Kentucky, Murray, Kentucky. And I just started serving the Lord and soul winning and all of that. But I remember I just got really discouraged because of just failings. I didn't do anything really, really bad. I killed a couple people, but nothing really, really bad. And, no. But I was discouraged. Like, man, it seemed like I just can't get any traction here, and I want to serve the Lord. I want God to use me, but man, it just seems like I mess up too much. I fail too much. I let God down. And I remember reading this verse. Turn to Psalm 33. I want you to look at this just a few pages back from where you are. Psalm 33 and verse 18. I love this. And as I read that verse, God spoke to me here. It says, Psalm 33, verse 18. The Bible says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him." Notice this next part. "Upon them that hope in his mercy." God, his eye is on the people, is on you if you're hoping in his mercy. And I kind of rationalized. I said, okay, what would God, I felt like quitting. And I said, okay, what would God rather me do? Would God rather me quit and not do anything for him, not try anymore? Or would God rather me just keep going and maybe not be used as much, but at least keep going? And I came to the conclusion that I think God would rather me keep going. And so I decided, okay, Lord, I'm just going to keep going, and I'm just going to hope you'll have mercy on me. And guess what? He did. Amen. And he has. Amen. Over and over and over and over again. You know, I mentioned in Sunday School Hour, I've been working for First Baptist Church for 40 years. It's hard to believe. I know you thought I was still in my 20s. But, and, you know, people have asked me, wow, 40 years. Have you stayed there that long? I mean, wow. I said, well, God's mercy. Because all the times that I messed up and I thought, man, I just got back up. And I didn't get up proudly. I didn't get up and said, yeah, I got it now. I got up like, okay, God, I'm sorry, man. But I just got back up. And I just kept doing what I was supposed to do. And every time, God was merciful to me. And many, many times, God would just bless me in ways I thought, Lord, where'd that come from? I mean, I deserve to be punished. You bless me. And I think God was saying, yeah, because you got back up. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, that's the only hope anybody has, is just getting back up. Because we're all going to fall. It's only by God's forgiveness and mercy that any of us are able to be used by the Lord. Somebody made a statement back when I was a college student, and I've never forgotten it, and it helped me so much. And they said, no matter how many times you fail, you're not a failure until you quit. You know, the truth of the matter is, failure is a part of success. Anybody that's discovered anything, that's created something, that's helped society, helped mankind, helped other people, they didn't discover it the first time.
Right.
You know, we get to enjoy electricity and the benefits of it. You know, all the inventors and Thomas Edison and all the people that did these things and discovered these things and discovered the light and making things work, they fail over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. But they kept getting back up and kept trying and said, okay, that doesn't work. So let's try this. And, you know, we get to see, we get to enjoy so many things today because people just didn't give up. I wonder how many people are going to miss out on what God wanted for them because you gave up. The one who was supposed to help them. The person who you're supposed to win to Christ, you're supposed to hand a tract, or you're supposed to be an encouragement to. You know, here's somebody, you're getting ready to meet him, and God wants you to give him a tract, or God wants you to encourage him, and here's what happens. Man, I can't believe I did that the other day. And Lord God, I'm sorry. You walked right by. Person you were supposed to hand a tract to. And you thought you were doing God a favor. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I've asked you 10 times to forgive me. That's 9 too many.
Come on.
I'm sorry. And we spend our lives thinking we're doing God a favor, trying to be humble, and we're walking right by people that need us. Don't even know Christ at all. That need someone to say, hey, how you doing? Sometimes some people just need a smile. But you're too busy frowning about your sin that's already been forgiven a long time ago.
Right.
And you're just sitting there beating yourself up over it. And you're not helping anybody. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Forgiveness is what enables all of us to keep serving God. Because if it were not for God's forgiveness, none of us could serve the Lord. So use it the way God intended it. Well, I'll just let somebody else have forgiveness. Hey, there's plenty to go around, folks. Maybe you're here today and you've never experienced God's forgiveness at all. You know, the first purpose of forgiveness is to save us from our sins. Because without God's forgiveness, we're all on our way to hell. Jesus died on that cross for our sins and was buried and rose again so that we could go to heaven. And if you haven't done that, you've missed it all. You've missed a great life here on earth, but more importantly, you've missed eternity with Him. And the only alternative is eternity in hell. If you've never received God's forgiveness for salvation, you need to do that today. Now, it's your choice, and nobody can make you do it, but well, I'd be afraid to walk out those doors if I had not done that. Or maybe you're here today, you just say, you know, I know I'm unworthy, but I don't want to spend my life wallowing in my guilt. I want to help people. And I'll be the first one to say, I've spent too much time wallowing in my guilt, thinking I was doing God a favor, thinking I was showing my merit to God, like, God, I'm just an unworthy sinner. And again, when we come to God with our sin, we should feel that way. The Bible says, I will be sorry for my sin. You should be sorry for your sin. You should feel guilty about your sin. It should bother you if you've done it more than one time. But let that drive you to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Now help me. And if it keeps coming in your mind, say, God, I'm not going to think about that. That's just the devil. If you keep thinking about it, that's just the devil accusing you. Don't let him do it. Let's bow our heads. Is there anyone here today you would say, Brother Harold, I'm not sure that I've been forgiven of my sins. I'm not sure I'm going to go to heaven someday. But I sure would like to. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. I won't call your name out or point you out. But anybody like that today? Maybe you're here today and you say, Brother Harold, I don't want to waste any part of my life crying over my sin after I've confessed it. I'm not going to let the devil have the victory in my life. I'm going to realize that there's forgiveness with him, and I'm going to confess it, and I'm going to lift my head up, and I'm going to get back to work with God's help. Is there anybody like that today? Would you raise your hand? Father, you see these hands. I pray that you'll work in our hearts, Lord, and Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to give rein to you, Lord, and to your life. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that, Lord, once we've confessed, Lord, that your forgiveness frees us to keep serving you, and I pray that we'll do that. In Christ's name, amen.